I guess that when we come together before the Lord, we just really want to know what he's saying right now. Amen. We want to know what he's saying right now. And I believe the Lord has something he wants to say to us right now. And it's going to start with a story of a wonderful man of God who was actually a prophet in the Old Testament. And his name was Jeremiah. I want you to listen closely to what he said, because this was at a real time of crisis in his life. Anybody here ever had a time of crisis in your life? Yes. Yeah. Well, then you might understand that his was a crisis about trying to serve the Lord in a very difficult time in what God had asked him to do. And here's what he said. He goes, you know, sometimes I think I will say nothing about the Lord or his message. But then his message burns like a fire inside me. It gives me pain in my mind and my body. I cannot keep his message to myself. I have to speak it. Wow. This version said it this way. Jeremiah said, and I can't quit. For if I say I'll never again mention the Lord, never more speak his name, then his word in my heart is like fire that burns in my bones. Say with me, burns in my bones. And I can't hold it in any longer. Church, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, everyone. This morning, drawing from the insights of others as well as my own, I want to share with you this morning from our text on the theme, like a fire inside me. Like a fire inside me. Okay, everyone, so one chapter back in Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 15, the chapter before the text we just read, God had a message for his prophet to share with his people Israel. These were our forefathers in the faith. And so he sent Jeremiah straight to the temple court to deliver it. And there's an artist's depiction of the moment. And Jeremiah declared to those there, he said, hey, this is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says. I'm going to bring all the disaster I've warned about on this city and all its towns because they've stubbornly refused to listen to my words. That was pretty strong, wasn't it? Pretty confrontive. Well, at that time, a leading priest named Pashur was the head of the temple. And he was not happy about what Jeremiah had just said. In fact, he was furious. He actually lost control of himself and attacked the prophet and then ordered his men to throw Jeremiah into the stocks. There's a picture of the moment when they're throwing Jeremiah into the stocks. And they planned to put him on display at the city gate. They wanted to make him a spectacle for everyone to see. Now, I think you can appreciate by looking at that picture that the stocks were a brutal form of punishment. Jeremiah would be in agony for a whole day and night. His head was locked in place, his body was twisted, his arms crossed in a painful position, and he would have to sit and endure that torture for 24 hours. Wow. Well, it was really a terrifying situation. But here's what's really amazing. I mean, keep in mind this. Jeremiah was a chosen prophet of the Lord that they were doing this to. He'd known since he was young that he was meant to share God's message with his people. But now he found himself trapped and suffering for doing just that. What an irony. But still, even going through all that pain, Jeremiah never wavered in his mission. He held on to the message he received from God and that conviction that had been with him since the very start of his journey. In fact, speaking of the start of his journey, God himself had shared how close he was with Jeremiah. Isn't that a neat picture of art there? God said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Pretty strong, huh? Basically, God was saying, I knew you even before the world existed, Jeremiah. I had a purpose for you back then. You were made to spread my message. I mean, this is pretty amazing, folks. When you stop and think about it, before the whole cosmos was created by God, before in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, God says, even before that, I knew you. Wow. before I formed you in the womb, before time, God knew this man, made him for a purpose. Pretty high calling. And initially, Jeremiah, because he was young, said, "Oh, Lord God, I can't speak because I'm just a kid." But God replied, "Don't say you're just a kid." In other words, "I've chosen you, Jeremiah, so don't think you can't do it." And then God added this. He said, "Hey, you'll go wherever I send you, and you'll say whatever I tell you. Don't be scared of their faces, because I'm with you to protect you." And at that moment, Jeremiah tells us, he says, "The Lord reached out and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Look, I've put my words in your mouth.'" And there's an artist's picture of him having his mouth touched by the Lord. Okay, so we're harking back to the beginning of his ministry. What an amazing moment for Jeremiah. And how awesome to realize as a human being that God has touched you. God's shared his very thoughts with you. And now he's empowered you to speak on his behalf. Wow, that's what God did for this young man. And that's why Jeremiah never really questioned the messages he received from God. And then God gave Jeremiah this command. He said, "So get yourself ready, stand up, and tell them everything I command you. Don't be afraid of them, or I'll make you look foolish in front of them." And then God dropped this epic message on his servant. He basically said, "Jeremiah, check it out. I've made you a fortified city. I've made you an iron pillar. I've made you a bronze wall for the whole land to stand strong against the kings of Judah, their princes, the priests, and the people. They're going to come at you, but they won't win. I'm right there with you, says the Lord, ready to save you." Wow, think about that. Wow, consider the incredible message God gave this man. He was saying, "Jeremiah, I've got a plan for you that's been in the works forever. Now it's time." Someone say with me, "Now it's time." "Now it's time to go out and smash all of Satan's lies." Yeah, because that's what he was going to do amongst his people. "Tear down those idols and wipe them out for my people. You're also going to build up my church and spread the good news. Don't stress. I'll give you the right words just when you need them. But don't let fear of people get to you. Don't sweat their scowls or their threats. And don't worry about failing. Remember, I'm with you for life. No demon or enemy can touch you, so don't get discouraged. Stand up in faith and do what I've told you. Your mission is clear. Speak my truth. Don't let anyone or anything bring you down." Wow, that's some powerful coaching from on high. I've had coaches get in my face in athletics over the years and say some pretty straight and direct things. Some things to brace me up. You see what I'm saying? Don't let anyone or anything bring you down. But boy, God really knew what Jeremiah was going to be facing, and God braced him up from the very beginning. But the Lord then also added this last bit. "And hey, stick to it, because otherwise I'll allow you to be confused in front of them." Ooh. Church, there's the backdrop. Please listen up, because here's what I want to say first. The message that you still have a fire in your bones isn't just for Jeremiah. No, it's for every pastor and Christian worker out there. Every pastor and Christian worker out there. God's saying, don't let anyone break you. There's no reason to feel hopeless. Don't let confusion take over when you're facing people. I'm with you, and you're a solid fortress. So there's no reason to burn out, and there's no reason to give up. But if you doubt what I've told you, if you question my faithfulness, you're setting yourself up to burn out. And you'll end up bitter, and you'll end up exhausted, and you might quit. And yeah, you'll be left confused in front of those who oppose you. But that'll only happen, sadly, because you didn't completely trust in me. However, there's more. This Firebones message is also for every believer who, like Jeremiah, has been chosen to serve Christ from before time began. I know we might have some pastoral leaders here in this room. I know we have some Christian workers here in this room. But this message, I say, is for every believer. I know I've got a lot of believers here in this room. Are you a believer? Oh, you've been chosen to serve Christ from before time began. Did you know this? Yeah, the Apostle Paul talks about God saying this. He said, God saved us and called us with a holy calling. Say, God saved me. He called me. Gave me a holy calling. Right. None of it's based on our works, but it's on his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, Paul said, before time began. That's pretty mind-blowing when you really think about it. So, my brother or sister, in simple terms, I'm saying if you're in Christ, you've got a calling from the Lord. If you're in Christ, you've got a calling from the Lord. And we all share the same mission. First, to listen for God's voice. Next, to share what we hear, to share his word. Next, to stand strong against fear. And then to trust him no matter what challenges come our way. Yeah. Yeah, it's in essence what God promised Jeremiah. And it's supposed to be true for all God's followers in Christ. What's the promise? Read it with me. Fire in my bones. Say it again. Fire in my bones. You know, we think about the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended on the church, and it was as though tongues of what? Fire appeared. And it's interesting because the interpretation of what happened on the day of Pentecost, they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. But the point was this manifestation, a mighty wind out of heaven, tongues of fire falling upon the disciples. And the interpretation by the Apostle Peter, who stood up and said, this is the interpretation of an Old Testament scripture that says, God said in the last days, I'll make all of my children have a holy calling to be prophets. I'll pour out my spirit on men and women, and they will all prophesy in that day. Oh, everybody will get to be like a Jeremiah. You see? Everybody was going to get to have fire in their bones, like Jeremiah was saying. I've got fire shut up in my bones. Pentecost, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is all about fire coming into your bones. Amen. To be a prophetic person, you see? To hear God's voice, then to speak his word. Stand strong against fear. Trust him no matter what challenges will come your way, because they will, because of the first three things. But that is God's promise to Jeremiah, and it's the promise that is true for all of us as the followers of God now in Jesus Christ. Fire in my bones. Wow. You know, dear ones, we don't necessarily need to have a speech ready to share with the world. No, the Lord's promised to give us the right words at the right time. But that only happens if we put our trust in him. That's what God said to Jeremiah. You know, you just go out there, and if you got fire in your bones, it's going to inform the rest of your being, including your voice. And you'll have tongues on fire before it's all said and done. In other words, you'll be able to speak with God's power. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to shift now to the Apostle Paul for a moment. Because the Apostle Paul reminds us that, yes, many are called to be preachers and teachers and missionaries. And Paul also reminds the church that with those callings comes suffering. If you're doing it right, you're going to suffer. Now, Paul included himself in that group. Paul said, I'm appointed a preacher, a missionary, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And he explained to Timothy, he said, that's why I go through all these hard things I have to go through. I mean, basically, Paul was saying, God's given me an important job, and because of that, I'm going to face some tough times. And face tough times he did. You've read the stories in the book of Acts, haven't you, about Paul? Yeah, the Bible shows us that Paul faced trials like very few others. I mean, here's a picture of one of the incidences in his life when they tried to stone him for dead and left him outside of the city, and one of the apostles there is trying to pick Paul up. That's just one thing that Paul experienced of so many. Satan tried to take the apostle Paul out over and over and over again. The religious folks turned against Paul and mocked him. Even some of his own supporters left him feeling abandoned and hurt. That's rough. Kind of sounds like Jeremiah a little bit, huh? In the same vein. But here's what's amazing. Can't find anywhere in the scriptures in the New Testament where it tells me to the contrary. When I read them, I see that Paul never backed down in front of anyone. He wasn't shaken or embarrassed by the world. And he never, amazingly, ran out of steam. Every time, Paul had a powerful message from God right when it was needed. I don't say this lightly, I say it very carefully, but I think it's fair to say that Paul was virtually unshakable. His faith in the Lord never wavered. He said boldly, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced. Say with me, I know, I believe, I'm convinced. Yeah, strong words. He says that my God is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. And in simpler terms, I guess I could say it this way. Paul said, I've given my life completely to the Lord's faithfulness. And whether I live or whether I die, I belong to him. And he encouraged his young friend and associate Timothy to do the same thing. He said, hey, stick to the sound teachings you've heard from me with faith and love that's in Christ Jesus. He braced him up. Stay strong. You got fire in your bones. Are you hearing this with me, everyone? Yes. You know, recently, and sadly, I heard about a local pastor who was considering resigning his position in his church. The report was he felt like he was failing because he was experiencing a tremendous amount of conflict and accusation in his congregation. I thought about that brother, and I thought, you know, I'm sure that his wife must be heartbroken watching him go through this time of struggle. He's reputed to be a godly, caring leader who really has a heart for the Lord and for the Lord's people. But he got really down amid all the conflict to the point where he felt that quitting was a serious option. And that's sad, isn't it? Yeah. But, you know, dear ones, it's not really necessarily a surprise. No, because you see, current research reveals that church conflict increases a pastor's chances of leaving, not just his church, but ministry altogether. Right, 91% of pastors who think about leaving pastoral ministry fairly often or very often serve in churches reporting conflict. And 77% of pastors who have once considered leaving pastoral ministry, once, twice, or a few times even, report conflict in their churches. Wow. This isn't the time we need to be losing pastors. Would you agree with that? No, this is the time we need more and more. You know, if I had a level of relationship that allowed it, I would sensitively submit Paul's words of encouragement to the pastor whom I mentioned. You know, I would urge him to cling to his faith and the message he'd received and the calling from the Lord that he has, believing that God will stay true to all his promises that he has made to him. Amen. But, you know, having said that, I also understand. I'm sensitive to it. I understand how a man or woman of God can get beat up by life and ministry to the point where they want to get out of what feels like a soul-crushing tragedy. It can happen to the best and most determined of us. I mean, even Jeremiah hit rock bottom while stuck in the stocks. Say with me, stuck in the stocks. Stuck in the stocks. Church, it wasn't just Jeremiah's body that was getting twisted up. His soul was taking a hit too. That night was dark, brutal for this brother, a brother who'd always cared for others. You know, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he was so tender. He cried. He cried over people. But after a grueling 24 hours of pain and shame, yeah, they finally let Jeremiah out of the stocks. He had one more burst of boldness in him. He marched straight back to the temple to Pashur, the guy who had locked him up. And he prophesied to him. He said, "Hey, Pashur, guess what? God's got a new name for you. And the name means you're going to live in fear and dread for the rest of your life." Wow, that was pretty potent. But Jeremiah prophesied it because he knew all too well how risky it is to mess with someone God has chosen. But this priest, Pashur, he just got mad one more time, got furious, called Jeremiah a liar, and they escorted him out of the temple. Well, you know, after that confrontation, Jeremiah was totally at his breaking point. He was totally at his breaking point. I mean, he confronted that guy with one of the most, what I would think, if you heard that from a prophet of the Lord, you'd be scared. That guy just blew him off. And with that, Jeremiah just went, wow. Sat down, started talking like a worn-out servant. There's a picture of him. And here's what he said in Jeremiah 20. Verse 7, my paraphrase, but he said, "Oh Lord, you've tricked me. And I fell for it. You're stronger than I am, and you've won. I'm mocked every day. Everyone laughs at me." It's interesting. The Hebrew word for tricked here means to be laid bare. Basically, Jeremiah was saying, "God, you've put me in a huge illusion. I'm just a minister who's been totally fooled. I've been duped." Wow. So, folks, obviously Jeremiah is really laying it all out there about what he thinks God is doing to him. Sounds pretty brutally honest, doesn't it? He's like, "God, you told me to spread your message. You wanted me to prophesy. You told me to break down and then build up. You gave me this tough message to share. But when I actually did it, you just left me hanging. I don't get it. I did what you asked, God. I stayed loyal. I didn't mess up. I didn't renounce you even while I sat in the stocks. I risked everything for you. And what do I get in return? Lies? Betrayal? Feeling abandoned? Just plain hurt." Now, saints, can you imagine what was going through this man's head during those brutal 24 hours? I bet he was sitting there thinking, "You know, I preached kindness to everyone around me, but now they just treat me like trash. God, I spoke your words to them. I pleaded with them to come back to you. I even told them you'd heal and bless them, but now they're just attacking me. I cried for days over these people. My heart was shattered for them. I even felt sad about their wrongdoings. I cared so much for them, but now they're just laughing at me. They make fun of me every single day. God, you've put me through a nightmare. The message you gave me has turned into a household joke." Wow. That's pretty intense. Okay, so you might be thinking, wait a minute. God said at the beginning, God told Jeremiah he wouldn't be humiliated. Isn't that what we heard? So what's going on here? Well, friends, let me clear up this picture for you, please, if I can. In the big picture, Jeremiah, God's servant, wasn't actually humiliated at all. Because you see, in fact, the Lord was up to something big that was going to be happening in the land. And it was all going to come to light when the time was right. He was set to prove that Jeremiah wasn't ashamed in front of anyone. He was not a joke. And what he was saying was not a joke. Because you see, prophetic words sometimes take a while before they are manifested. The very fact of being a prophet is you're foretelling and forthtelling what God is going to do, what God is going to allow, the potential of God if people don't do what God says. And they weren't listening. So even though right now, sitting in the stocks, it looked like it was all a mistake. Oh, the word of the Lord was just grinding. The word of the Lord was just percolating. The word of the Lord was just starting to do its work and move out, because eventually it was going to create something that was going to happen that was going to transform the nation and bring them into a fulfillment of what this little prophet had said. Yeah, one day Jeremiah would become actually a powerful example and would leave us a legacy that would last forever to the degree that I'm preaching about him today. We're talking about Jeremiah today as an example for us. And his words came true. All the prophecies that he gave came true. So how ironic, isn't it? But at the time, his feelings of failure and dejection were so very, very real. And dear ones, I want to submit to you that there are actually many pastors and Christian leaders around the world who feel the same way Jeremiah did right now, today. And I know this from my own personal experience and that of other pastors whom I've known over the years. And if you ask them about it, you'd hear statements like this. You know, oh man, I'm feeling so defeated. I did everything God asked of me, but when I took that leap of faith, it felt like he just left me hanging. Yeah, that's right. Many of them started off with big dreams, but now they're leaving totally burned out. Many of them started out with a real passion for saving souls, and they worked their tails off. But after a few years, they didn't see any real progress. The community never really accepted them. Their kids struggled, and their wives got worn out and discouraged. Now, friends, these pastors, these brothers and sisters I'm talking about, these are people that truly love the Lord. They're dedicated servants of Jesus, but eventually they hit their breaking point. Many say to themselves, I feel like such a failure. I had so many hopes, but none of it ever happened. And that's sad. And it's not just happening to pastors and church leaders here in the States. No, sadly, every year, more and more missionaries are going through this same struggle. Currently, 47% of deployed missionaries leave the mission field in the first 5 years, almost half. Think about it. For every two missionaries that go out onto the mission field now, within 5 years, one of them's going to come back. And for many, it's because they feel discouragement and depression to the point of throwing in the towel and heading back home. Now, friends, they might not be as blunt as Jeremiah, blaming God for misleading them, but deep down, many of them are possibly holding on to some resentment. I mean, they feel like God pointed them in a direction and then just let them down. And if you ask them about it now, you'd probably hear statements like, oh, it felt like God led me out into a desert and then just left me out there to dry. I was surrounded by enemies, and it felt like he abandoned me. So I walked away from the ministry completely disheartened and failed the test of brokenness. I let bitterness creep in. Looking back now, I realize my mistake. I didn't establish any roots of trust during those tough times. And when the challenges hit, I didn't lean on what I knew from God's word and his faithfulness. I forgot his promise, I will never fail you. Now, friends, I myself know what it's like to go through this kind of a trial. When our church, then known as Fellowship of Believers, was only 4 years old, we attempted a merger with another then recently started local church. Well, the move didn't work out for a number of reasons, most of which were very painful. 6 months later, after the merger, I had to leave the situation, and in order to preserve unity in the church, we left our original church family that we took there. We left them there, and Stacy and I moved on. I want you to know, wow, we were very dejected and demoralized over what had happened. And we were seriously thinking that perhaps the ministry wasn't our calling after all. Well, thankfully, after much time, prayer, reconsideration, and outside counsel, the Lord led us to reconstitute the church 39 years ago next month. 39 years ago next month.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. But boy, how close we came. And the other time, the one other time, we had reached such a crisis point in our souls was in the year and a half following the completion of this building in 2003. Yeah, due to a variety of post-building challenges combined with some accompanying church relational and personal health difficulties, I was again struggling with feelings of demoralization, this time with a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety. And sadly, it culminated in a major health breakdown in early 2005 that I have been debilitated by up to this day. But you know, in that first year immediately following my health crash, I seriously thought it might be time to hang up my cleats, as they say in the track world, and to withdraw from the ministry. But thankfully, once again, after much prayer, reconsideration, and trusted outside counsel, the Lord led Stacy and I to continue on with the gracious support and assistance of our church leadership and our family here, which continues right up to this very day. And I'll say from the bottom of my heart again, thank you all so very much. Thank you so very much for helping me stay, us stay. So, loved ones, yes, by the grace of God in manifold forms, I'm sitting here today because I obviously didn't give up, and I never planned to. Why? It's basically the same reason Jeremiah couldn't give up. It's the reason why other ministers and Christian workers keep going. I remind you, he said, God, your message burns in my heart and in my bones. I can't keep silent. And you know, speaking of the grace of God, here's how gracious God is in these trying times. I just want you to understand something about the Lord here. Very important to put in. God didn't call out Jeremiah for his rant. Anybody here ever gone on a rant? Okay, how about a tirade? How about both? Here's what I found so interesting. God didn't rebuke Jeremiah for his tirade, which is amazing considering that in Jeremiah 20, verse 14 to 18, the prophet literally goes off on a serious rant that feels super dark, even borderline suicidal. I want you to listen to how deep in pain this man was. He said in verse 14, "Yet I curse the day I was born. May no one celebrate the day of my birth. I curse the messenger who told my father, 'Good news, you have a son.' Let him be destroyed like the cities of old that the Lord overthrew without mercy. Terrify him all day long with battle shouts, because he did not kill me at birth. Oh, that I had died in my mother's womb, that her body had been my grave. Why was I ever born? My entire life has been filled with trouble, sorrow, and shame." Wow. Yeah. That is deep. You know, I recently read online a less dramatic but equally serious version of this kind of wounded complaint from a pastor who said, quote, "I've really let God down. I'm feeling so low from my mistakes. I'm totally drained, like I've got nothing left. Honestly, it feels like life isn't even worth it anymore." Wow. Now look, I know that may sound hard to believe for someone listening here today, but the truth is, a lot of God's messengers in the Bible express these same heavy feelings. When Job was in his darkest moments, someone told him, just give up on God and die. Elijah felt the same pressure. The once great prophet ended up pleading, Lord, just take my life. I feel like a failure, just like my ancestors. But hey, then again, maybe you too are feeling just like they did back then. Yeah, I'm saying you've been twisted up by the struggles. You've been feeling trapped and helpless. Maybe someone online watching now. You're thinking, I've been crying out for help, but it feels like no one's listening. I can't handle this anymore. I don't want this in my life. You know, things were way simpler before I found God. It feels like he's just left me hanging. Might be somebody here that's where you're at. Now, some folks might say, that kind of talk is disrespectful to God. It needs a serious correction. Well, honestly, folks, you know, you and I can only see the surface. God knows what's really going on in someone's heart. He understood Jeremiah's struggles. And he didn't call him out for feeling down. Why? Because, friends, the Lord saw that there was still a fire inside Jeremiah. It's like God was saying, Jeremiah isn't going to give up. Sure, he's venting and feeling lost, but deep down, he still believes in my word. It's alive in him. And he's going to come out of this tough time with an unshakable faith. I know my servant can't stop sharing my message. It's written on his soul. It's written on his heart. It's written on his mind. And his best days are still ahead. He's still my chosen one. You know, I love that about the Lord. Don't you? Yes, church, and the good news is that, yes, by the grace of God, Jeremiah found new strength. He got a fresh burst of energy from the Holy Spirit. Out of nowhere, he felt revitalized, and he stood tall, essentially declaring, not so fast, Satan. You can't trick me. You won't drive me away from the ministry God has given me. The Lord called me, and I trust his word completely. And he stood in the city square and raised up a pennant for the Lord. But even while that was going on, the prophet said, I heard the gossip from all sides. Never quits. Fear started trying to creep in. Everyone around me was waiting for me to stumble, thinking, maybe he'll slip up and we can take him down. He says, but the Lord stands by me like a fierce warrior. My enemies will be the ones who trip up, and they won't win. Sing to the Lord, praise him. He saved the soul of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Praise God. Man, something happened to the brother. Say, something happened to the brother. My dear brother or sister, right now, you might feel like your fire has fizzled out. You kind of look like that one little last ember there in that fire. You might think there's no spark left in you. You know, maybe it was sin that suppressed it. Yeah, you got caught up in sin, and slowly but surely your flame faded. You know, I've heard heartbreaking stories of faithful men and women who fell apart simply because of the internet. For many men, it was the lure of pornography. For women, it was connecting with someone online and starting an affair. But you know, sometimes it's It's just life's compounded wounds and losses that suppresses the flame in our hearts. You know, dear ones, it's unfortunate, really, but a lot of the church today looks like a modern-day valley of the dry bones. Yeah, I'm saying it's a wilderness filled with the bleached skeletons of fallen Christians, ministers, and other devoted believers who have flamed out or burned out due to persistent sin or unhealed brokenness and woundedness. And now these brothers and sisters are filled with shame or pain, and they're hiding away in self-made caves. And like Jeremiah, they've told themselves, I won't even mention the Lord or speak his name anymore. Anybody know people like this? Well, I'm here to announce, loved ones, though, there's hope. God's still throwing out the same question he asked the prophet Ezekiel. Can these dry bones come back to life? Yeah. Well, the answer is a big yes. So how does that work? Well, dear ones, I submit to you that it's all about renewing our faith in what God's word tells us. Because the Lord's word itself is like a blazing fire. And seriously, it's the only real light we've got when we're stuck in those dark moments of despair. It's our shield against the enemy's lies when he tries to tell us, it's over for you. You've lost your fire. You'll never get it back. You know, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the only way out of this kind of situation, out of that darkness, is through faith. And guess what? I remind you of that simple but most powerful maxim. Faith comes from hearing God's word. We just need to hold on tight to what's been planted in our hearts, what the Lord has spoken to us personally and even prophetically. The Lord's assured us, I won't let you fall, so there's no need to feel hopeless. Don't even think about giving up. Say to yourself, don't even think about it. Say it right now. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Just rest in my word. You might be thinking, okay, but Pastor, listen, this dark time feels worse than anything I've faced before. And by the way, I've listened to countless sermons about God's word, but right now it all feels pointless. Listen, I hear you. We can get to such places, but I'm still going to say to you, please don't worry. God's fire is still alive in you, even if it's hard to see, even if it's hard to feel like that picture. You just need to add some fuel to that fire with your faith. Trusting the Lord is how you do it. And when you do, you'll watch all those doubts and temptations get burned away as God rekindles his fire in your heart. Oh yeah, folks, I know everywhere I look, it feels like people are drifting away from God's word. But even with that, I can see God doing something amazing to bring his people back. He's reaching out to every soldier who's been hurt or has fallen away. He knows who's gone missing, and guess what? He still loves them. He's calling out to everyone who ever joined his army, encouraging them to come back to their true purpose. Hey, we want a revival in this community. I'll tell you, if we can just have a revival of those that have been with the Lord and gone away and then come back, we won't have enough room for that. I said revival and awakening are connected. Man, amen. God's Spirit is bringing back life to those dry bones. Look at that picture. He's reminding them of the truth he planted in their hearts. I'm prophesying now. Amen. Those who seemed lost are going to come back to life. They're feeling that same fire Jeremiah felt, saying, hey, God's fire has been bottled up inside me for way too long. I can't keep it in anymore. I feel the Lord lifting me up, filling me with life, and I'm ready to share the word that he gave me and shout out his mercy and his healing power. Hallelujah. Please hear me, my dear friend. I might not know the exact struggle you're facing. You could be going through your darkest time ever. You could feel like your prayers are just hitting a wall. But here's what I do know. God has lit a fire in you. Someone online, God's lit a fire in you, and that fire is still flickering, even though it's just a small glow. And the Holy Spirit is there right now, and he's breathing life into it. He's dedicated to reigniting that flame within you. Look at that picture. He's lifting you up and he's helping you get back to your true purpose. And he'll be with you through every dark night. Don't let the devil take you down. Don't let the devil take you down. If the Lord Jesus is speaking to you now, I would like you to do something. I would like you to take your own two hands, and I would like you to lay them across your heart. And I would like you to stand with me right now. And we're just going to go to prayer. And we're going to ask the Lord to rekindle that flame. Lord, by your breath, breathe in. Let these dry bones begin to live. Lord Jesus, once again, from the very core of the being, let that fire that you put in them when they came to you, let Pentecost be real again. And Jesus, I pray that even now, you will begin to pour out your Spirit afresh on your people. Say with me, there's fire in my bones. There's fire in my bones. The fire of the Lord Jesus. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Stir me ablaze, Lord. I'm coming home to you. As the old hymn says, Father, breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life anew. Move over your people now. Let the word that has just been spoken create life, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just let the Spirit blow. I want you to imagine in your mind a picture of God's Spirit blowing on just like a tinder starting a fire, kindling it afresh in you until it continues to burn brighter and brighter to a full blaze. Blazing believers. Believers ablaze. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lay your hand on each one of your sheep in this room now, I pray, my Father, Master, my Savior. Quicken us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just feel the Spirit of the Lord saying, even as you would sit in front of the fire and watch the embers glow and the sparks arise and fly, and you would be captivated by the flames, watching them dance in their multicolored way. I am looking at you, my child, and I am beholding such a beautiful fire within you. And even as deep calls to deep, I, the Lord your God, who am a fire, I am calling to you, the fire in you. And I want you to let my fire, the anointing of my son Jesus, I want it to be allowed to dance in you as the flames dance. Let there be a movement of my spirit and let the sparks fly. Even on this house, I kindle the flame, that the flames may dance, that it would be mesmerizing in the spirit to those that would see it, that you might see the flame of the Lord in each other. And as that creative dance of my spirit happens, so also sparks will go out to touch others with my glorious gospel, with my amazing power, and expressions of my love. So I kindle a fire here in your midst as well as in you individually. I rekindle a big fire in your midst. And that the sparks would fly out even from this place, yes, even to your city and beyond. People should stand around and watch something burn, it's true. But what they should watch is the bonfire of God. When I set my people ablaze, for then there shall be a light and a glory that shall transform all and bring great honor to my name, says the Lord. I'm a great God. And my son Jesus will be glorified. Lord, thank you. Build such a collective fire here. You're igniting each one of us, but build a collective fire here, so burning brightly that they not only see it from I-80, they see it from downtown. And what you're doing in the Spirit in and through our lives, though we are a remnant, though we are a remnant, but still use us, we pray, in a powerful way, in your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Look, we just had to wait in his presence just a moment. Thank you for the extra time. I couldn't go yet. That being said, I bless you today in the name of the Lord. In fact, I want to leave you with a blessing. I do want to tell you that there'll be prayer up here afterwards for any need. And Thank our children's workers for the couple extra minutes today, okay? Come for prayer also, our signups of anything out in the lobby. Anything I'm missing? No? I think that's good. That's everything. That's all the announcements. Yeah, fellowship outside in the lobby there. Well, now may God, who has given us the good news of the divine rule in Jesus, may he also give us the passion and the desire and the fire to serve and establish that rule, now and forever, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you, online family. God bless you, too. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Come for prayer. We'll see you next time we're together, everyone. God bless you. Thank you.